fresh to the scene.
Is it much better though, Robert?
No, shut the fuck up with that. Have we not heard that enough? Like, okay. How many times do I have to sit through hearing that same thing, seeing the same little, what would you call it? I could do it. I just don't know what I would call it. The Baga arm twist?
Baga gives a character from Shrek, but like, period. I don't know what creature. Yeah, exactly.
Baga gives Lord Farquaad's alcoholic mother who does bad Liza Minnelli impersonations to satiate all the old ass people, the old gays who come to the theater to watch the newest Shrek film.
Very that. Who was the queen? Wasn't there a drag queen in Shrek that owned the bar?
Oh, I don't know if drag queen's the right word, but it was one of the ugly, using their words, stepsisters from the Cinderella tale.
I mean, what a trans icon. Gorge.
I think she was also like low-key Latina. So like, I mean, I liked representation.
Her. Yeah, I liked her. She gave. She ate. She gave. We slurped.
I don't know her name, though. But who knows? Whatever. Probably Gisella or some shit.
Gisella. Something cute. Gisella Bidet.
Wow, what a novel name for... What a novel idea for a name.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Bring It to the Runway, UK versus the World edition. Hopefully, I actually feel like editing this episode and putting it out into the public. So,
the last episode, where is it, girl? We gave so many thoughts and they're just out, locked on your hard drive. What episode was it? Episode 4, 3?
Bitch, I haven't even put out the last one either.
Oh, bitch.
Listen, girl, I'm a little backed up right now and I'm dealing with that car situation. So
eat some fiber.
I'm taking my psyllium husk capsules. I actually did that on our quick little break from recording with Joe. Everybody go out to Drag Race Recap on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and listen to the episode Robert and I just recorded where we recap the finale of UK versus the World. Robert, general thoughts. How did you feel about the episode overall?
I thought that it was a fitting end to a season that was not as good as it could have been. No hate to Blue Hydrangea, no hate to any of the queens in particular, but it just didn't feel like it was an international sensation that it absolutely could have been.
100%. I mean, if you guys want to hear us go into detail on this, I'm kind of proud of our analysis that we just recorded with Joe, because that's just what it was. I was so hopeful. I mean, I remember when you and I recorded the first episode of UK versus the World and we were like, bitch, I don't even care about season 14 anymore. Like, this is the show to watch. I'm so pumped. This cast is cool. It's interesting. It's diverse. And yeah, I want to reiterate, all the girls are talented. All the girls deserve to be there. But it was just a fucking total letdown of a finale. And honestly, franchise, I really hope they step their pussy package up coming around. Because it could do better. It definitely could do better. And speaking of, I guess, should we get into the looks?
I think so. You know, I have one point related to it, but I'll save it for the end of the episode. It's about the looks and about the international stage and blah, 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 blah. But there is like a through line about it all.
Well, speaking of looks, I know that you love when all the girls get to come back.
I do. I did just say it like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. So, you know, I think if you guys haven't watched the episode yet, all the queens come back from the season and at least they're able to write off this elaborate finale costume, right? In their taxes.
Yeah, well, no, but at least they do get to show it on a bigger platform than allegedly just Instagram. I don't know who was really watching this season, though. Few of my Drag Race hardcore friends who are fans. I mix those words up, but you know what I mean? It just felt like at times that I was one of the only ones watching it.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't really talk about this other than with you and Marcos. Marcos was so like, oh, yeah, it was a whatever episode. Like, he was so like, didn't even care to get into details, especially after Pangina left. It was just like, okay, there's literally nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone said that season 14 died after Cornbread left, but I don't think that was or is necessarily true. But there's no doubt that this season died after Pangina left. Just 100%. A sad, wet fart.
Well, let's get into these looks. And speaking of sad, wet farts, how about a sad, citrusy fart? Starting with lemon.
How are you farting citrus?
I don't know, girl, if you're healthy, if you drink a lot of lemon. I don't know, grapefruit juice, which I love. So Miss Limon is giving us this Canadian reference with a giant, beautiful red maple leaf with a shit ton of glitter, the veining details on the leaf. The cutout details are really cool. And then she has on, I actually have those boots that this bitch is wearing. Thigh-high lace-up pleaser in red patent leather. And she has on a cute Stoned for Filth jumpsuit in the Canadian flag colors. Methodically placed panels of stoned ruby red long sleeves and side panels to accentuate the white hourglass figure in the catsuit. Yeah, it's just a catsuit, but I mean, she, you know what I like about this look? It's not yellow. And Lemon is showing us what she can do when she actually starts thinking like in a more forward way instead of just strictly branding. I thought she looked fabulous. One of my favorite looks of the night, if not my favorite. And then I really liked that the leaf, she was able to make it functional and make it like a ball skirt. So that was really cool. That was a fun detail. Exceptional drag. What do you think, Robert?
I think sometimes you take all my damn comments and say them before I get a chance to say them. So now I'm out here looking for scraps. But to reiterate, I 100% agree that Lemon out of yellow was a great moment for her. I'm so glad that she performed a larger than life look like this leaf gave us.
Very Victoria's Secret. Like supermodel.
You are so damn obsessed with women in underwear walking down a runway.
No, did you ever watch the Victoria's Secret fashion shows?
I haven't watched them like in full, but I've obviously seen clips of them on social media. Okay, I just don't care. I'm not going to wear that, and no one who I'm going to sleep with is going to be wearing it either, probably.
No, totally agree with you. But what I'm saying is like, it's really about the costume work, and you know how they would make the custom quote unquote wings that represent the angel wings. Sometimes it would be other things. Sometimes it would be flags. Sometimes it would be really fun, whimsical, campy back pieces, just like this one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. That's where the Victoria's Secret angel reference comes from, are those back pieces.
Well, solid. And I follow that. I think if I were to critique this look a bit, I think Lemon's hair could have been a touch bigger because it really flattens her when the leaf, falls to the side.
Yeah.
And that's not great because otherwise it's just a catsuit and, a train. And I also would have done without the detailing on the waistline. I thought it actually sort of destroyed the hourglass illusion and made me realize that I was looking at something that was, in my mind, kind of giving me expensive china at your grandma's house.
It does look like expensive porcelain ware and like a ski suit.
Yeah, a little après ski. But that said, I do think it was probably one of the more successful looks of the night. And for once, I don't mind a cat suit in general because she gave us something with it.
Totally agree. So, also, you guys actually don't have these boots. They're completely stoned, red, thigh-high boots. I do not have these. My bad.
Thank you for that look into your wardrobe, girl.
Next, we have Cheryl Hole. Robert, I'm going to let you start since I don't want to take words from you. I'm going to give you a stab at it first, bitch. Throw the fucking dart at the board, bitch. Fucking shank this bitch to the ground, honey, because I know you want to.
So Cheryl Hole's garment is a blood red oversized dress.
Mantel.
Sure, whatever. I'm sure there's a name for the silhouette. and detailing said dress. Mantel.
That's like a fucking placemat on your grandma's table.
That I didn't know. I don't call, we call them placemats in my grandma's house. But Lemon is wearing, Cheryl Hole is wearing four different flowers, one from each of the primary countries of the United Kingdom, the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, and England, of course. And I don't remember all the names of the flowers, but Cheryl said them during her runway walk, so you can follow up with that. And she's wearing a typical standard Cheryl Hole wig, which is just a blonde updo with unnecessary curvature. And her makeup looks the same as always, fake Alyssa Edwards. And she presented it with these sort of rotted ballet ankle heels and a half-assed tongue pop, a weak dab, and a commitment to showing women who are mediocre.
Damn.
A definite dump all around.
Tell me how you really feel, bitch.
I feel no. It's just not it. There's a reason why Cheryl didn't make it very far. And to be honest, I'm a little surprised she was cast to begin with.
Yeah, I like Cheryl Hole, but I was surprised by her being cast. Yeah, definitely want to have, maybe she needs a little bit more time, you know, to develop her taste level, I would say, because I thought the idea was cute. I mean, the color is really pretty on her. The fabric looks nice, but it's just underwhelming.
It's a very simple, standard look, and it doesn't give finale. It doesn't give elegance. It doesn't give elevation. It just gives cocktail dinner party.
Yeah. This look, I mean, the flowers are pretty, but it just, they look really cheap on the gown.
It's,
you know,
whatever British version of Joanne's exists, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, yeah, it's a dump, unfortunately, for me.
Sorry, Cheryl.
Sorry,
I'm sure
doll.
You'll give us better mediocre looks on a UK All-Star season.
Yes. Next, we have Sharon Needles wearing... I mean Jimbo.
So nasty.
I don't know why. I think the mug is giving a little bit of Sharon.
It's an evil shamaness look, so I can see why you would throw Sharon in that realm.
Yeah, it's the wig and the makeup a little bit, but...
It is giving spook.
Yeah. Jimbo is, this is something I want to point out. When Jimbo actually has time to paint his face, he looks so much better. Like, when he's competing on the show, you can tell he doesn't have enough time to do the makeup. You know what I'm saying? In comparison to when he has more time to get ready, because he looks really cute here. But Jimbo's just wearing the fucking same dress she made for that RuPaul ball challenge.
Essentially, like, yeah.
Yeah, just a
same
classic.
Mm-hmm,
like a classic sequin wrapped like gown, floor length gown with a thigh high slit in this really pretty fabric. It's not black, but it's like this iridescent oil slick kind of gunmetal sequin, very dark sequin reflective fabric, which is really the star. Just because, you know, it's a deep V neckline, shoulder padded, long sleeve gown. You know, there's not much there. Very simple, very clean. She does look gorgeous, but it's a little too simple for me, you know, especially with her episode one look being so extravagant. I expected a little bit more from our look queen. What do you think, Robert?
I totally agree. I feel like Jimbo may have been intentionally shitting the bed just to further, you know, put a knife in everyone who had to watch her get eliminated. I don't think this is really what Jimbo packed for this final runway. If Jimbo was in contention for the crown, I'm sure they would have come up with something much better than this and not a bag of chips, much better. Don't even say it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I wish Jimbo came with like a reference, like a stronger reference than this, you know? I wish maybe she would have made a joke like where she turns around and it says like, fuck you, Pangina, or, you know, something like, where's the humor? Where's the clown in this? I wish I would have had a little bit more of that for sure.
These are the tiniest moose antlers I think I've ever seen in my entire life as a fascinator. And so I'm trying to figure out, or I guess headpiece is more accurate, but I'm trying to figure out if that is a storyline beyond moose being a prominent animal in Canada. I maintain that it sort of gives shamaness in terms of
right,
design. You know, we have a skull on the front and center bit, and there are really interesting details. They just don't mesh with anything else in the look.
Yeah, a little underwhelming. A little.
Yeah, it's. Sure. I would actually pump it, but sort of begrudgingly so, because we know how much more Jimbo can do.
Mm-hmm. And it's just very, obviously you can't deny the bitch looks polished. The bitch looks good, but it's just underwhelming for the challenge, you know?
Yeah.
The look category. But you know, what if like, I wish she would have just came out with that ridiculous titty bib that she's been wearing recently with a bikini and just crazy big hair like she did in the RuPaul ball challenge. Like that would have been more effective.
That would have been fun. That would have been a proper fuck you to production, mm-hmm. That I would expect from Jimbo. Yeah, and this still, is just high
drag. It still would have been very high drag, you know, because it do take commitment to wear titties. Especially of the size that Jimbo likes to wear them.
If it takes commitment to wear titties, then, I mean, Jimbo is the most committed person to ever walk the face of the earth, because that bitch lugs those 10-pounders everywhere.
Literally. Oh, my God. Well, now let's talk about a look that we were both complete fans of. This Pangina motherfucking heels. Bitch, I want to wear you. I hope you fit my feet. I'm a fucking European 42. Bitch, you are so hot. Pangina, I really hope I get to meet you one day and you and I can be friends, and hopefully more than friends, or friends with benefits, because, bitch, this little, it gives me Dolce & Gabbana. Who's this Queen Robert? You're a history girl. I'm not. One of the Elizabeths. God knows. Who knows?
It's from
who
the cares? Elizabethan era.
Oh, so, how'd I know?
Because she said it on the runway, bitch.
Oh.
So stupid. Well,
well, okay. She has on this Queen Elizabeth red traditional updo with like pearl bobby pin details in it. It seems like a head scratcher on top. what would you call that, Robert? I think it might be that Filipino space needle thing that she wore earlier. Like,
well, one, it's not Filipino, and two, it's not a head scratcher. It's clearly like a tie accoutrement that to me symbols like royalty and divinity.
So a crown of Thai crown.
Likely, yes.
Yes, okay. Because I think she wore like that little.
She did.
Yeah. So I love that she incorporated that into this look. She's giving us this clown white face paint. I actually think this is one of my favorite makeup looks she's done, because she has provided a lot of versatility in her artistry there. And yeah, it's just ace. It's a short, corseted cocktail dress that is very flared out, almost like you would see the top of one of those traditional era gowns that mm-hmm. are over a hoop skirt, but just the top part and this big bib collar, gold, very Baroquean collar, and fucking big ass shoulders. Like, this should have been on the season 14 episode with the shoulder pads, because, bitch, this is giving, and I love it. I love
don't see no pad.
Well, shoulders.
Well, then Georgia should have been safe because she gave shoulders.
No, she didn't, bitch. She gave us a poofy sleeve. She did not give a shoulder. But yeah, no, I mean, fuck. This looks like Dolce & Gabbana, and I'm not a biggest fan of Dolce & Gabbana, but this is great. This is excellent. And, you know, I don't love the thigh-high glitter platform boot, but I don't mind it. Robert, do tell.
Every individual element of this look, well, not every individual element, but a lot of these individual elements, I just don't normally drive with. Like, I can't stand ruffles in general. Ultimately, it's still centered around just the corset that's bejeweled and bedazzled. The Elizabethan / theater kid all white makeup with the rosy cheeks has never really been aesthetically pleasing to me. But I do think that all of these things put together, especially knowing that Pangina has intentionally done an amalgamation of Thai regal regalia and, you know, traditional British historical referencing, just pulls it together into like a true concept. And for that, as well as how well it all meshed together, I give it a definite pump. And it's better than Lemons, because Lemons was just like literally just the Canadian flag, and Pangina's was fully well thought out and intricately designed. And I love the heels, actually. Are they simple? Are they basic? Absolutely. But she didn't want anything to draw away from everything going up above.
I wish she would have gave us a more simple and basic heel. Like just a simple pointed toe pump, or just a simple like gold metallic sandal strappy heel. Like, just because I do think the boots are a tad distracting.
I could see that. But if she had bare legs, I would probably have liked this look a lot less, to be honest with you.
Really? I don't think so, because it would have elongated her legs. And it would have just gave us more. And I love that she went like the short cocktail dress route.
I don't think it would have worked with the ruffle being so stiff and almost horizontal.
Bitch, and I don't think you know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Well, you asked my opinion and I'm giving it.
Total pump. I mean, yeah, between her and bitch, how are you going to say Jimbo? I mean, fucking Lemon's look isn't intricate. That fucking big ass maple leaf and the way that it folds and is still part of the garment and silhouette, that's pretty fucking intricate, bitch.
Well, it's certainly a feat of engineering, but it's I don't know if it's deeply conceptual. It's the Canadian flag, which
it's
is lovely,
but
it's not
conceptual.
It's not doing what Pangina did, which was really draw two countries that have had very little to do together or with each other politically and aesthetically, and merge those into what she feels is the height of what this competition has meant to her and also what she brought to the competition.
Yeah, but then
it's a storyline, girl.
Then you could just say it's too on the nose. It's a little too literal.
I could say that, but I didn't.
A little too costume.
It's a touch costume only because of the face makeup, but I can still buy into it.
Honestly, I agree. I think if she gave us a different face, even though I did love the makeup a lot, if she gave us her just super glam, you know, really glam Pangina makeup where her features shine through a little bit more, I think that would have been really cool.
Yeah, and I said this in our podcast with Joe that is on the General Drag Race Recap channel, but Pangina's paint here makes her look more sad and morose than I think she was feeling throughout most of the episode. And the editors definitely took advantage of that and shot to her as much as they can. If she was looking down, it looked like she was about to cry. I very much doubt Pangina was in her feelings that much.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, regardless, the bitch looks absolutely incredible. Pangina heels, you are that bitch.
She is the queen of the mother tucking world.
Yeah, she's girl. I'm sorry, Blue, but not you. I can't like enjoy your duet with RuPaul.
Everyone else is loving it. They're eating it up. It's the best song of the season.
Wait, the song already came out?
Yeah, the song actually came out the morning before the episode aired. So everyone who was on Twitter or Reddit or whatever had it spoiled for them.
Bitch, I did not know. Ew, that is like so stupid.
But why the song is raggedy. Not that anyone expected anything else.
Wait, I really want to hear it.
Horrible. Horrible.
I feel like such a shitty podcaster today. I didn't even know the fucking winner. I thought the winner was Mohart. I'm tripping.
I think you could be forgiven for not really remembering the winner of this season the day after, because the reality is no one's going to remember it in any other time frame.
Bitch, I didn't remember it the day of. I texted you about it afterwards, and in my mind, I thought the winner was Mohart.
Yeah, that's fine. Take from it what you will. To me, Pangina won, much like I'm fairly certain Shangela won All Stars 3.
100%. Well, moving on to winners. Next, we have Janie Jacquet. Janie Jacquet is representing Holland in this sky blue velvet mermaid tail gown. It has on this star detailing on her chest, matching sky blue velvet opera length gloves, this big platinum curly like 80s dynasty wig, and there's white clouds around the hip area and like some tulips and shit growing from the bottom of the dress. This is very campy. This looks like Met Gala, like something Katy Perry would wear. Which is not a compliment. So it just looks like a kid's fucking drawing come to life.
I don't
really jive with it. What do you think, Robbie?
There's no doubt that Janie Jacquet got eliminated, met up with Cheryl Hole at the hotel. The two of them bumped elbows and they took their ass over to that version of that Joanne's British store that I was mentioning and picked out all the fake flowers they could get their grubby hands on and decided to throw that shit on their finale dresses. It's just not elevated. It's just not exquisite. It's just not fit for the world stage.
Yeah, it's never a good thing when it looks like you glued shit to your dress. You can glue shit to your dress all you want. I think a good example of someone who does really fucking incredible drag
is
Charity Case. Charity Case. I think Charity Case is an exceptional queen. And I love the way that Charity Case glues shit on to their garment because she makes it look like it's part of the textile. She doesn't make it look like an embellishment.
Honestly, Charity Case's outfits are also extremely beyond detailed that I'm pretty sure she just slathers herself in glue and just rolls around a bed of shit and calls it a day. Do I think the effect is great? Yes, but damn. There are so many millions of different angles and tiny little bits of things jutting out and in all different directions. I have a little bit of a hard time believing that Charity is that detail-oriented, but I still love all of her drag.
I completely agree. And I remember when I found out, I had been following Charity Case for a few years, and then when I found out she was on Drag Race, I was like, this is not the show for her. I knew they were going to do her dirty because I really, I think she showed a lot of versatility on the show, actually. And I thought she was a fabulous performer. I don't know why they did her like that. I don't think Rue really liked her. And I fucked with her when she was like, well, it's good enough for Vogue. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Her drag is good enough for Vogue. So, like, no offense. It makes these fucking tacky judges' opinions is...
I think UK season 3 was wrong in so many, many ways. And their treatment of Charity was definitely part of it. I don't think they were quite prepared to provide really eloquent and measured critiques for someone who wasn't doing the same basic faux American drag that they like to reward on UK Drag Race.
Yeah.
And I don't think Charity would be good on Dragula either, though, just to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think she would be.
I think Charity's sick. I just don't know that just because she's alternative doesn't mean she's spooky. You know,
bitch, she needs to be on La Más Draga.
You're so stupid. She needs to audition for La Más Draga.
Bitch, they will accept her happy ass bet. Dude, she would kill. She would fucking eat on La Masdraga. This is why La Masdraga is the best drag competition.
Because
show.
Charity would win?
No, because it is a platform and a format that is open to let all kinds of queens. They reward all kinds of queens. They reward drag kings. They reward, like, it's cool. Their platform is truly open to all types of drag.
I'd love to see a Charity Case show. When she's performing at Heart, let a bitch know.
Bitch, let me tell you about this Heart performance. So everyone, I went to the debut gloss performance put on by House of Avalon, which is Simone and Gigi Good. They hosted as well as Vanderbilt. And that shit was so electric. It was such a fun atmosphere to be in. But Robert, let me tell you, the crowd, bitch, you would have hated it. It was so fucking packed.
I saw.
The whole top floor was closed off to like VIP, which makes a lot of sense. But girl, it's like the way that they set up the stage, it was like a runway. It was effective, but there wasn't really enough room for the crowd. I feel like people fit at Precinct better, in the big room at Precinct, the area where they host the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just felt like, I feel like they could have rearranged the stage in a way that would have been better to make more room for the crowd. Because although Heart WeHo is a big venue, it's not designed in a very effective way for the crowd. But the production value was exceptional, and it was so cool to watch Gigi Good, Simone, Willow Pill, and Cornbread fuck it up, as well as Aurora Sexton. It was a really, really good performance, but I don't think you would enjoy it because it was just crowded. And to be honest with you, I only went because my friend gave me a ticket. I wasn't even planning on going, but I pulled up, and my friend that gave me the ticket couldn't even handle. He was like, bitch, I'm out.
Yeah, the crowd sounds too much, but I wonder how busy then the rival Monday Night Drag show at Mickey's, the longstanding Showgirls, usually hosted by Morgan McMichaels or Raven. Were they seething? Was it empty? I would hope Morgan it was empty, because I would live to go back. And ever since Drag Race got popular, I can't go back.
I think Morgan hosted Monday, and I think you and I should have gone to that instead to see the Colbys, Sasha and Carrie, and I think Morgan performed. Who else was there? There was some other notable names.
There's always at least three or four notable names, and then usually one or two up-and-coming local girls. Is their typical setup?
Yeah, and usually the local girls are fabulous.
Hell like, yeah.
They're actually really fucking good girls. So, yeah, I felt for that. I really want to know if anyone was at Mickey's. I'd love to know.
Well, we'll see, because there's no doubt the West Hollywood Bar Wars are going to begin anew. Like, you know when they do petty shit? Like, the owner of Mickey, or the owner of the Abbey, will report that he saw a rat at Mickey's, and then Mickey's will get shut down for 2 months for health reasons and all that other kind of, like, catty bullshit. I have no doubt the drag scene's about to get real spicy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Especially because I feel like Heart was opened keeping in mind that they wanted to host these types of events, right? So they host the shittier version of Evita, which is called Valhalla. No offense, it's not that good.
Evita's not that good either, though.
Evita lost its charm, for sure.
Evita was better at Bootsy.
Yeah, 100%. Evita was better at Bootsy. Yeah, I think Heart kept in mind when they were designing, like, that they wanted to host a lot of shows there, because I know Willem and Alaska are going to be hosting a drag show there the last week of every month, I think on Thursdays. So I think they're going to be bringing in a lot of people with these attractions. And I'm curious to see how other bars are going to compete with that, because I don't really feel like, other than Flaming Saddles, that was such a fun venue to see queens perform at. I think that was a good venue. They had the stairs. They were really able to use the whole club as a stage. Those long tables in the middle of the dance floor with the poles where people would get up and dance. They had the patio. I thought that was a fun venue to watch drag shows at. Precinct downtown.
Precinct is my spot for drag.
Yeah. Where else would you say, like,
Back in the old days, I loved Bar 10 when it had drag shows. Melissa B. Fierce was frequently the hostess there, and they pretty rarely had a drag race queen. So in effect, it tended to be a more local moment. And so I kind of missed that vibe because it wasn't always, oh, well, now we're seeing, I don't know, Latrice do the same split and Aretha Franklin song that she always does.
Right.
Which is like a regular thing at Mickey's and probably soon to be Heart.
Yeah. And
that said, I miss Latrice performing. But so it's been too long. Mickey's,
I never liked that stage.
It's so small.
Design. It was so narrow. It was just so narrow. And I feel like the queens couldn't really perform on it to their full potential either. So I don't know.
That's enough on West Hollywood lately, don't you think?
Well, no, it was just more about drag, like drag venues and where we consume drag. Because like, think about it, our listeners, maybe they want to go watch a drag show and they don't know where.
True. I'm trying to get popping at Executive Suites in Long Beach so that I can finally see my girl Delta, who I haven't seen in years.
Oh God, I know. We should go. Let's make the journey to Bethlehem.
I'm down. You know, I'm not drinking, as we've said several times. So that means that we have a designated driver waiting in the wings.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I'm so glad I was on like two gummies and high when I was at Heart, because if I was sober in that crowd, I would have just been like so not feeling it.
Yeah,
but I was in a really good mood.
Even when I was in my mid-20s, I just started to realize that the new drag crowds are not popping. And I'm not even like a member of the old guard. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
But I'm sure the House of Avalon brings out like all the kids with their fake IDs because they're all like 12 years old.
Yeah, there were a lot of young people there. But, oh my God, and these people, I don't know if you saw what I wore when I went out. I'm going to post it to my Instagram.
Why would I see what you wore when you went out?
I kept being asked if I was straight. I'm not fucking lying. Then I would talk to
you. You weren't talking?
Girl, gays were literally like, do you even know like what's going on here? Like, wow, because guess what I wore? I was serving Matty Morphis's Realness. And you know what? I'm not going to post the outfit because I'm going to wear my Matty Morphis's inspired look this Saturday when you and I record the next episode of Bring It to the Runway. So the dolls will see it fully visual because our podcast will now be available visually on YouTube and on Spotify. So you're going to be able to catch the whole episode on video. Anyways, but even when I talked, they were like, do you even know what you're watching? I was like, I have a whole podcast about Drag Race. And they're like, wait, so who are you here for? Do you even know these people? I'm like, I just told you I talk about Drag Race twice a week.
At least.
Like, publicize it. And they're just like, in this voice, Robert, I'm speaking to them in this voice. They just didn't want to believe the fantasy that I was... Like, it was like, Robert, guys fully taking their shirts off in the crowd to stand next to me and be like, sorry, I'm going to be a slut right here. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like not paying attention. And they're like, so like, what are you doing here? Like, they wouldn't fucking leave me alone. And I was like, bitch, I am watching a show.
I guess you were serving trade, which I find really difficult to believe, but good on you, mate.
I was offended. I was genuinely offended.
Doubt these were some socially inept fucking faggots who were trying to either make a friend at a drag show or hit on you. Probably the latter.
I'm not gonna lie though, the three that I can remember were they were hot. I would have definitely had sex.
Everyone's hot. Who cares? Boring.
No, not everyone is hot. Okay. Speaking of things that aren't hot, Robert's favorite queen, Bag of Chips.
And this is the last time you get to say that tired ass quip.
That's why I wanted to get it out of my system. Bag of Chips is serving a shittier version of what Jimbo made for himself, except Bag of Chips probably bought this at H&M. Baga is serving us, talk about real UK pride, this H&M gown moment. It looks like just not.
Do you know the reference?
Finale-worthy. Queen Elizabeth, she said, or
baby girl Elizabeth Taylor.
I don't know, Elizabeth Taylor.
She wore an exaggerated, insane floral headpiece for, I guess it makes sense that you don't know the reference, but a Dolce and Gabbana show.
Yeah, I don't like Dolce & Gabbana. It's tired. It's tacky. They're racist. They're homophobic. And they perpetuate a lot of fucked up, toxic things in the fashion industry and society as a whole. After, you know, one of them fully came out publicly and said the most vile racist comments against the people of China, especially during the beginning of the COVID pandemic, I can't believe Chinese people still fucking give their money to these people, and Asian people in general give their money to this brand. It's disgusting to me. They do not give a fuck about you, so you guys should stop supporting them and go support local artists.
Well, actually, I misspoke. The headpiece was not Dolce & Gabbana at the time. Dolce & Gabbana just did some inspired looks from them recently.
Oh, got it.
From that headpiece. But Elizabeth Taylor, I guess in general, likes to put shit on her head.
Well, okay.
Well, like, because she's dead, I guess.
But this gown is just a black sequin. I wouldn't even call it a gown. It doesn't even hit the floor. The slit is not even high enough. This is the problem. Bag of Chips is wearing a dress made for a traditional assigned female at birth body. And Bag of Chips, you are a man. You cannot wear a dress that was designed for a fucking female.
Like, I'm slayed when you talk to the queens directly. Like, just a little voice message for Bag of Chips.
As if they're going to hear it. But honestly, it's like the slit just ends at a weird part of the thigh. The dress doesn't hit the floor. It's not tailored to her body. And the sleeve details aren't really doing her justice. I think her makeup looks pretty, and I don't mind the headpiece. And I like that she's giving an Elizabeth Taylor reference, I guess. But no, total dump. This is not finale worthy. Too simple.
I actually liked it. I sort of refer back to my previous comments about Charity Case's looks tending to be extremely intricately detailed. And I think this headpiece fulfills that brief. Like,
the headpiece.
Yeah, the headpiece in particular. Like, was the headpiece, was every single flower or straw or whatever's on this look planned to be exactly where it is on this headpiece before they made it? Or did they just put random shit on and then say, well, it looks great, so there we did it. I don't know. Does that even matter? Probably not. But regardless, I think it's a great headpiece. I think it's great makeup on Bag of Chips, even if her plastic work is a little overdone. She does look a bit puffy. And I don't understand, apart from camp, why she would be wearing a daisy in between her eyebrows. It's giving me a little cultural mess. But the dress itself is also not it. It's a bad slit. It's a bad dress. It's a bad poofy sleeves. But that's
very H&M. All right. Moving on to the winner, apparently. Blue Hydrangea giving us this baby blue, very extravagant dress. It is like that Christian Dior silhouette, but the skirt is not quite that ankle length. She is wearing a blue, soft blue corset with a bunch of ruffles on the sleeve detail, giving us that car wash sponge moment right when, you know, you're driving your dirty ass vehicle through there. I definitely would love someone to wash my car with these sleeves. And then she has this crinoline skirt with like this dove bedazzled on it and some pearl details in the corset. Her hair is this big platinum updo. Her makeup, you know who she kind of reminds me of here? Aquaria, a little bit.
I thought you liked Aquaria.
I do love Aquaria, except this is the thing. Aquaria can walk. Aquaria can wear clothes. Aquaria has dominion over her body and dominion over the stage. Blue is just still like an awkward girl learning how to perform, it feels like. She's still finding her footing. Now, this look is gorgeous, though. And I know she turns around and it reveals some more embellishment on the back. I do think she looks beautiful. She looks really pretty. It's blue. It's her brand. It is really nice. What do you think, Robbie?
I think that these types of frilly outfits are many, and I've never really cared for them in general. It's just an aesthetic that doesn't really please me all that much. And I feel like we've seen this exact updo on Blue at least twice this season, even the same way. Like, clearly she learned some new tricks about how to make wavy bangs and how to incorporate that into her eye makeup. And she really thought that that was going to, and I guess it did, take her all the way. But in general, I just kind of see it as like almost like a line dancer or like revealed type of dress that is really, really well put together, but not daring or bold or interesting in any way. The most that can be said is the dove that has the pins of the UK flag and the Irish flag. And she's suggesting that there is now peace and harmony between the two warring countries. And she even made an interesting reference to the Troubles by referring to the fact that they've had a troubled past. But I don't think Blue really thought much about that political statement and just kind of slapped it on. And it feels slapped on.
Like a thousand doves.
I loved that song. No, I'm sorry. I love Sign From Above.
Chromatica tickets are going on sale.
I saw that shit. It's like $200.
Oh, that's it? That's not bad, bitch. It's not floor.
It's not going to be floor, though. You're going to be sitting in the nosebleeds at best.
Her floor costs like $700.
I'm not doing floor for another damn Gaga concert. One was enough.
I think I'm ready to spend that fucking coin on my girl.
It's your money. You live your life. Did you like Chromatica that much?
Oh my God, yeah. I loved
it. I loved it too, but the girls weren't living.
I don't really care for the girls because I love a lot of the writers and producers that worked on the whole album.
Of course,
a lot of it, like Sebastian Ingrosso, Axwell, Chami, love those artists, and I loved the production on it. And I know that with her concerts, she doesn't always just play and perform to like traditional.
Oh, she
tracks.
Never does just that.
It's always like a fucking rave. Like, this bitch knows how to throw a fucking party. And I really want to go to the LA show and the New York show.
Where's the New York show being held?
It's at the Dodger Stadium. Like, Robert, it's at the fucking Dodger Stadium. I'm going to go line up at the Dodger Stadium since I don't live far from it. And I'm going to actually try to buy tickets in person.
I doubt they're selling them at the stadium, girl. This isn't 1998.
Someone said they might. Someone said that they might be.
Well, it would help if you had the city. If you had a Citibank card, you could participate in the pre-sale that's going on right now.
I know, but I don't.
You know, most of that shit's going to be sold out the second it goes on, though.
I know.
I saw Gaga perform already, and that was good enough for me. She's clearly never going to do Edge of Glory live.
What tour?
So whatever. The Coachella tour.
She did do Edge of Glory there.
She did a sad piano version where she prefaced it like, you know, I wanted the euphoric high version. I wanted the album cut.
I liked that performance. I was in the crowd when you were there too, bitch.
Yeah, you pushed yourself to the front if your story is to be believed.
I wasn't all the way in the front, but I was pretty close. I'm not going to lie. I was like pretty up there.
It's a big ass crowd, so any pushing is maybe not impressive, but I guess you got your due.
I didn't push myself, bitch. I was already there. I was there for whoever performed before her.
Ah, who cares? More on LA Weekly.
All right. Well, yeah, Blue Hydrangea, you know what it is? It's a very overwhelming silhouette for her tiny frame. The garment is
which is a running theme for all of her looks this season. A lot of them were just not well fit.
You know which garment she did wear very well that was an overwhelming silhouette? There's two in particular that come to mind. The one where she had all the like faces on her in that big blue
that was velvet, good, but I still think she looks small in it.
She did look small in it, but the garment kind of made it look like that was her body, right?
It was
like
it was good.
And then the one where she was like the quote unquote strong woman at the circus.
Oh, I thought that was a busted look.
Oh, I liked it.
But I did really, you didn't like this look, but I really enjoyed the look be a lady, milfy leprechaun look.
Yeah, no.
I thought she looked good in that one. Probably the best she looked all season.
I mean, she but still not as good of a winner. She always looks good, though. Like, she really does always look very polished, very, you know. But, like, that doesn't mean her, like, concepts are great, you know? Or
no.
Her, like, look is good. It just means you look polished and pretty. But
it
yeah.
seems like next. She paid a lot of money for these garments. I'll
yeah,
say that.
She definitely had the budget. Next, we have Jujubee.
Our budget girl.
This wine, looking like a tall glass of wine. She has on a strapless neckline with matching opera length gloves to this gorgeous gown. It is like a big peplum, but it is stuffed, so it has a lot of volume. And then a matching mermaid gown skirt. It is really stunning. It's very simple. I think the proportions look gorgeous on her. It's just all ruby stoned, beautiful, big Valley of the Dolls hair. Her mug always looks right. I really liked it. I thought it was simple, but I really liked it.
I thought it looked like a blood clot, or like when you
definitely that.
When you reach
definitely.
Too far into your nose and you pull out a really long,
a
gooey, bloody booger. Like, I thought it was giving that.
Definitely giving clogged artery, for sure.
For sure. Like, all that KFC. But I think her makeup and hair look great, and I enjoy the multi-pronged star earrings and then the combination of that with her the ring on her hand. But the dress itself is just nothing to wear to a finale. But clearly Jujubee had wardrobe struggles all season, so I'm not surprised and I'm not disappointed, because I kind of expected this.
I think maybe she surprised me, to be honest. I was like, oh, cool. Like, it's a little bit more than what we're used to seeing from you.
I think that she's always going to live in her own shadow for the All-Stars 5 finale look. And obviously she couldn't capture lightning in a bottle twice with that same concept or idea or execution.
Girl,
but
she, that's one of my favorite looks of all time. She
it was
looked
stellar.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Mo Hart, the winner in my eyes, is giving us something that reminds me of Terry Mugler. It definitely gives me like late 90s, early 2000s vibes with the makeup and the hair choices. But she is wearing a silver, like holographic metallic corset top. But it's way more elaborate than it sounds.
It gives me
Wonder Woman with the silhouette. Yeah, because she has on these very intricately placed pieces of like wired metal. Well, they look like metal. And when the light hits it, it's casting a rainbow, a prismatic rainbow effect. And I think it has a lot of detail, especially when you look up close. The neckline, the breastplating area, has on the correct Nude Illusion paneling mesh, which I want to commend her on getting the Nude Illusion color right on the whole top in general. And I think it frames her silhouette beautifully. It's very flattering, giving me this Wonder Woman fantasy on top. And then this silk big ballroom skirt vibe. So she has on this maxi skirt, has a train movement, matching opera length gloves in this orange color. I really like all this together. I think she looks really pretty. Simple, but enough detail in the top for me to like love this. But it did fall a tad short for me in comparison to like the first two looks she wore on the runway, the first episode.
Yeah, I think this is probably her worst look of the season.
Worse than Sully?
I was gonna say, even though I didn't like the Sully look, I feel like it had more effort and detail on it. This is two pieces of costume. It's I think a poorly fitted corset that juts too far out from her chest and therefore makes
you
it look more blocky
poorly
than
fitted?
It should.
I don't think so.
I think that it I saw it when she, it's not in our clips here, but when she walked and turned back to the stage, you could see how much space there was between the actual breastplate, bra, whatever you would call that, and like her body. And I'm not saying she needed to wear fake titties to make it work. It just looked almost like a hangnail or like a broken hinged door that was just swung open and left there. It just didn't look correct. And that's a kind of a common issue with a lot of these jutted out bodices. And well, I don't think,
because
are you really going to the bathroom?
I already went to the bathroom.
Oh my God. I didn't even notice because I was busy looking at the looks. You dropped a whole deuce as we were chatting.
I'm not that talented, girl. You know, my shits. I'd be taking my fucking psyllium husk, but it doesn't help me shit.
Well, take it with water, girl. But back to Mohart. I also don't think that the, what did you say, ball gown skirt was planned for this. It feels like she fully just grabbed a rectangle of fabric and tied it to the chrome corset. I don't think she knew how to walk in it particularly well. I don't think it flowed particularly well. I don't think that orange is a great color to go with chrome. So I didn't really get why or how. And I was happy when she got out of this look and turned into her lip sync looks, which I thought were much cleaner and better executed.
Her lip sync looks were so pretty. See, I think Mo's look has definitely a taste like a tackiness to it, but that's charming and works for this particular look. Because like I said, it reminds me of early 2000s, late 90s, which was not a good time for fashion, but there were some very iconic moments in terms of fashion history. She reminds me of Naomi Campbell in the mug a little bit, the hair. Like, I like it.
Well, I guess agree to disagree here, because I thought Mo would have really given us something special.
Exactly. I will agree with you on the fact that it did fall short, especially in comparison to what she's worn on the show.
Well, unfortunately, she is once again a runner-up, but I think she probably should have won, but she didn't get that damn badge. And of course, they weren't going to let an American win a UK versus the world season, because imagine the global implications of that.
Child, bitch. Anyways, I'm so glad this show's over. It was
only 6 weeks.
Girl, I know, but I was starting, but after Pangina left, I was starting to resent recording for the show.
Well, it's
not that, like,
across.
I know. Like, I'm literally saying it right now for the record. I did not enjoy recording UK versus the world.
Goodness. Well, then why would people enjoy listening if you're out here talking shit on your own damn self?
Well, I don't know, bitch.
You better edit that shit out.
No, I do appreciate and love talking to you and analyzing the looks for our audience. That I will always enjoy. So that I always look forward to.
Well, that's true. It's good to debrief and catch up.
Yes.
Drag Race España season 2. How do you feel about that?
I don't know how to feel. I'm excited, to be honest, because I really liked the first season. Mm-hmm. Other than, okay, what are your favorite Drag Race franchises? Obviously, like, other than American Drag Race. For me personally, I really enjoy Canada, even though I didn't watch this last season of Canada's. I did not.
Oh,
I
like
not
it.
Get into it.
I liked
I could
it
not
so
get into
much.
It, but
Canada's my favorite franchise.
I'm going to give it a chance because I really liked the first season of Canada. I really, really liked it.
It never quite reaches that level of just sort of raw and real and generally iconic sort of back and forth. But something about season two of Canada, I think by far it's the most diverse season of Drag Race there is. And some of the queens are a bit annoying. Actually, many of the queens are kind of annoying. And they have this little Rolaska Talks thing going on that's never as fun as you would think. But there are some really, 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 really great characters on it. And not all of them win all the way. But the winner, I think you would dig the winner.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. Just because I definitely did get the whole annoying thing really fast watching it. And I think I could not get into the show. But other than Canada, I loved Spain. I really liked Spain a lot. Loved Spain. I think.
Did you see that Gloria Trevi is going to be the first guest judge on España 2? How do you feel about her?
Gloria Trevi. I love her. I love Gloria Trevi. I am such a fan of her music. I actually like, okay, so let me geek out for a bit. I have a playlist on my Spotify that is like songs I would like lip sync to if I ever
party. I mean, it's good to be like, prepared.
You know, and there are like, I love like, the Gloria Trevi song, Esa Hembra Es Mala. No, that's like how it starts.
But don't say it like I would know it by name.
You might
know it. If you played it, I would probably know it, but I wouldn't know it by name.
Here, let's play it really fast so the girls can follow. It is, it was one of the theme songs for a very, very popular Spanish telenovela.
Elite.
Oh, it is called Esa Hembra Es Mala. I'm correct, bitch. I am correct.
You're telling me like I said you were wrong.
No, but I said I was wrong. Can you hear it?
I can hear it. It sounds like I'm sad at the bar.
Let me forward it a little bit.
Still sat at the bar.
Here we go, right here.
Now I'm depressed at the bar.
Okay, so the song is literally calling, is like, that bitch used to be my friend. That bitch you're sleeping with is not the one. Esa hembra es mala. It's like she's a bad thorn.
One of my favorite subgenres of conversation is asking my parents what the hell that song is about and them kind of struggling to listen to the song, translate it, and then do the whole like English lesson of like, what is the central theme here? What are they saying? And it always sounds like that. It's always, oh, she's so sad because her man left her for a donkey and she thought she was better than the donkey, but that donkey had a fat ass. And then the borracho from down the street came down and offered her 3 tamales. And she said, well, I guess it doesn't matter. I don't have to diet. So then she has it, but then she got food poisoning and it just goes on. And I'm like, what the hell kind of shit are you guys writing songs about? Back in the home country.
That Gloria Trevi song and Todos Me Miran are my two favorite songs of her, but the song that really put her on the map and the reason why she's such a big icon is Doctor Psiquiatra.
Huh?
Anyways, but you know, she's had a lot of controversy in her life. I'm surprised. I didn't know she was a big deal in Spain.
I think they're reaching out to us, young brown folks from the colonies.
Here, yet again, fucking Europe can't find their own culture to keep them popping and relevant, that they have to come and fucking poke on this side of the fucking world.
You thought they were going to have Rosalia?
Girl, I don't really care for that.
Remember when Spain did Night of 1,000 Rosalias and I was like, it's all the same look. What's going on?
I know, I'm like, she hasn't.
Imagine Night of 1,000 Dua Lipas.
So basic. It would be the most basic shit ever. It's basically Dua Lipa is basically like every queen from Drag Race is on Dua Lipa's designer's mood board. Let's be real.
I don't know that. I mean, I'm sure she does, but I didn't know that Dua Lipa had a designer because what's being designed? She's just putting on pants and a bra. Very Bosco lately. It's true.
Very chops on the runway vibes, just very run of the mill, like just basic. Who would you like to see a Night of a Thousand Subs? I love the Gaga one. That one was great.
That was great. The they Madonna. Could definitely do another one.
Mm-hmm. They should do another Gaga one. They haven't done Britney.
I've never been a Britney person. I don't dislike her. I just never cared. Minaj would be fun, but do we really want all those white girls like deciding whether or not they should do blackface?
Dude, I know. That's what I... So, okay. This, but also, like, how do you pay homage? Like, I mean, you just wouldn't do the makeup.
Well, you... you shouldn't. And you shouldn't wear any darker foundation like some queens have done and have gotten away with. But the idea is... That
of a thousand Rihannas.
It's bitch. Just like, that do you remember? Do you remember when Gottmik and Candy Muse, or sorry, do you remember when Cade and Candy Muse did the twin runway and they flipped personas? And then even though Candy Muse is not that like street or hood, she is, but she doesn't present that way in drag too much. Like Gottmik was like kind of like hunkering down the stage and like throwing up gang signs and trying to be like as thug as a like suburban white boy would think is thug, and it was just kind of uncomfortable. Like I would imagine a lot of that for a Nicki Minaj runway.
Right, let's not forget, like, yeah, Gottmik is cool, but like let's not forget he's still a white boy from the burbs.
From the wealthy burbs, it would appear.
Yeah, so it's kind of like
okay. But my heart out is approaching, girl, so I think that we have to stop the shooting the shit and continue with our avenangs.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode of Bring It to the Runway, UK versus the World. Let's see if I feel like publishing it and putting it out into the universe.
We'll see. Where can we find you at?
You can find us at @Hella_Christian on Instagram and at RAW54 on IG.
Everybody RAWB, girl.
Oh, shit. I thought I said that.
Who cares?
Well, RAWB54 on Instagram. And you guys go spam, DM, and comment on Robert's old shit and tell him to accept the collaboration from today so that he can stop giving spam with his old, tired, expired IG account.
But now I'm used to giving spam. I don't know what else to do.
Bitch, just post.
Ugh, I don't want to. You can't make me.
I'm not making you.
You can't. Well, good night, Christian.
Good night, Robertina. Love you lots, doll.
Love you too. See you later. Bye.